Now you see, beginning to wonder what in the hell are they listening for. See, and we find out. He closed the door, returning to his chair, and brooded with a troubled face. My friend, he said at length, I fear how this may end. I am afraid to see the break of day. It might be better to be far away if they should come. You said that you would go. What keeps you waiting here? I do not know, said Sitting Bull, and gazed upon the wall with eyes that saw not anything at all but lonely distance that is not of space. Without the wonted shrewdness in his face, the lurking wit, it seemed a stranger stare he turned upon his friend. I hardly care, he said. I may be only getting old, or maybe what a meadowlark foretold is near me. Yet I do not feel afraid. It happened that my circus horse had strayed one day last summer, so I went to see a little valley where he likes to be, but it was empty, even of the crows, except for something any still place knows, but sound can never tell it. That was there. It filled the valley and it filled the air. It crowded all about me very still.
You know something in still places where there's nobody around. You stand and listen. And there's something, you know, you can hear it. You know that feeling in a silent place? Yeah.
I stood there looking at a little hill that came alive with something that it knew and looked at me surprised. The stillness grew. Then suddenly there came a human cry from yonder. Sitting Bull, your time is nigh. Your own will kill you. Your own will kill you. It was loud and clear. So loud I wondered that I did not hear an echo. Yet I thought, perhaps a man is hiding over there. And so I ran to see who said it, maybe out of fun, or maybe spite. There wasn't anyone. But while I wondered, had there been a sound or had I dreamed, there fluttered from the ground a meadowlark. And with it rose again that same cry uttered with the tongue of men. Your own will kill you. Then, above my head, four times it circled rapidly and fled.
That's what he thought he heard. And he thought the meadowlark said it, and it was nobody. Four was a holy number, a sacred number. Four times it circled around his head and then flew away.
How long I stood there thinking on the hill, I do not know. But by and by a shrill, long neigh aroused me. Looking around, I saw my old gray horse come trotting from a draw and down the valley. Then the common day came back about me. He scanned that distance with an empty stare that slowly filled, and, brimming with a smile, ran over into chuckles for a while, and then he said, what matter? It was good. Why mourn the young flame laughing in the wood with tears upon the ashes? I could laugh all night remembering, forgetting half the happy times before the world was old. Do you remember, friends?
And then he told a story. It's one they love to hear over and over. It's about the man who, the fool who undertook to catch a bear, and the bear caught him, you know. And they all knew the story. It's a classic, you know. They like to hear it told again, you know. They tell stories over and over, you know. Did I ever tell you about the story called the woman bear who fell in love with a man, It's one of the darndest stories that anybody ever told. It's a continued story. It never ends. The man with streaming eyes and aching sides defied the vast night's silence with a roar of laughter till the woman on the floor sat up and scolded. Ever and again the mirth subdued broke out among the ten as seeing how the panicked people ran the day the stridden bear brought back the man precariously clinging by its hair and shouting wildly, "I have caught a bear, behold!"
Yeah, the bear caught him. It's funny.
But when the final chuckle died, as though that prowler in the hush outside came creeping in, they sat there listening, wide-mouthed, alert.
Listening, you know. Was anything. They'd been laughed so loud, you know. And here was a silence. Like something prowling. They heard their hearts. It's still, you know, get to hear your heartbeat. Just wondering. There wasn't anything. They heard their hearts.
"Yes, truly it was good," said Sitting Bull at length. "But if I could, I wouldn't live it over from the first. The goodness of the water is in thirst, and I have drunk. That day I broke the pipe 2 moons ago. This heart of mine was ripe for death already. Shall the ripe grow green?"
You see, he broke the pipe when he made peace, came back from Canada. He was making peace when he broke the pipe. He broke his pipe. Means I'm through, I'm through. And he said, "And I was ripe to die then." That's what he broke the pipe to signify that he was through fighting. All through, the whole thing, broke his pipe. "Shall the ripe grow green?"
"Beyond a winter's telling, I have seen enough to make a liar choose the true. Of wonders these Wasichus dream and do in crowded lands beyond the rising sun. I look and see the evil they have done. My eyes are weary. What is looking worth?"
What is seeing worth? He's tired. He really wants to die. That's what he wants.
"Have I not seen the only mother, Earth, full-breasted with the mercy of her springs, rejoicing in her multitude of wings and clinging roots and legs that leaped and ran? And whether winged or rooted, beast or man, we all of us were little ones at nurse. And I have seen her stricken with a curse of fools who build their lodges up so high they lose their mother. And the father sky is hidden in the darkness that they build. And with their traitor's babble, they have killed the ancient voices that could make them wise. It shall come to pass, when these at last have stolen all the grass and all the wood, the water and the meat, and there is more to burn and drink and eat than all could use in many moons of feasts happening right now, the starving people shall become a beast, denied the very grasses of the chief. But dreaming each to be the bigger thief, they toil and swarm, not knowing how their sweat shall turn to blood upon them, who forget their mother, are forgotten at the last. Already I have seen it in the past of spirit vision. It is even so. These eyes need not to see it."
When you have a vision, it's as though you had seen it from the past. It's already finished, you see. And you see it in vision, and it's the past of vision.
"Long ago it happened. I was all alone one day among the mountains, where the still ones say in silence,
what can make men wise to hear. And while I listened only with the ear, the pines were giants weeping all around. Then suddenly there wasn't any sound, and I could feel that I was not alone. There was an eagle sitting on a stone far up, and all the air was like a crowd that waits and listens. Then a voice was loud, "Behold, hereafter he shall rule the land." See, he was a medicine man. He had visions. He saw the future. He was doing that the day of the Custer fight. He was in his teepee making medicine, making spirit power. He was in his teepee nursing his wounds on his breast where he had danced the sun dance, you know. And he was too sore to fight, but he was making medicine. He had dreamed that he saw white soldiers dropping out of the sky like rain, and there were many, you know, falling from the sky. He said there will be a big killing. That was before the. No, he was a prophet, and what we would call a medium. You know, they'd call him a holy man, and we'd call him a medium. I thought and thought. I could not understand, but I have lived to see it. For behold, the image of the eagle on the gold these mad Wasichus worship and obey. The worshippers shall come to be the prey. All right, he's just that wise, too. He's a rebel, you see. They're opposed to individualism, you know. Well, they never had such a thing in their tribe. Some man getting a lot of ponies for himself and other people not have any. Everybody had ponies. You bid me go, but which way lives the good? I know my friend would tell me, if he could, where greens that land, the weary way to go, how many sleeps, and where the grasses grow the deepest, and the water holes are sweet. Then I would ride my horses off their feet to find that country. But the spirit keeps the secret yet a while. How many sleeps? One sleep. The last and deepest of them all. I will not ride, my friends. He turned to them and said, they who have seen this vision of the dead have seen what they have seen, and it is good. But foolish hearts that have not understood, they make a story out of it that lies. They want to use it as a power against the white man to sweep him off the earth. They make a story out of it that lies. The blind ones, they would have it with their eyes. The deaf ones, they would hear it. You see, they had tried to persuade him to lead them on the war path. We've got all the armies of the dead back of us. They thought the armies of the dead would come, and he thought the hell they will. And then you see why they wanted to arrest Sitting Bull, too. Same reason they wanted to arrest Crazy Horse, because he was a rallying point for the Indian. He hated the white man. Everybody knew that. And knew Crazy Horse hated the white man. And as long as those two were in the world, there was danger of revolt. They might start a rioting, a panic, of course. They'd be mistaken, they'd get their ears knocked down. But I mean, that's why they were dangerous men, considered dangerous men. Even so, almost, my heart persuaded me to go. So big it was to go on the warpath, you know, with the rest of the Indians. Almost my heart persuaded me to go. so big it was with hate and ripe to die, that it would set men fighting for a lie. There's your idea. And what to fight with, starving as they are. You see, they were arresting him because they thought he was going to lead the Indians on the warpath. And he wasn't. He's giving his reasons here. He says they're foolish people who think that. They're going to have Jesus coming and the new heaven and new earth, and they didn't believe it. He was saying that they expected it to be a concrete change, but he had the idea that it was spiritual. He came near going himself, you see, but he figured out that they misinterpreted it. It wasn't meant for war, and they couldn't win. He knew it was a spiritual matter, and he couldn't make it happen in this world. He rose. "I wonder if the daybreak star is up," he said. "The night is getting old. Out in the starry glitter of the coal, they followed him, and muffled in their breaths, stood shivering and gazed. The hush was death's. The east was blind. Knee-deep along the flat, the fog came crawling. Nothing moved but that. My friends," he said at length, "it might be best to go to bed and get a little rest before the morning. It is well with me." They gripped his hand in silence, silently, like spirits wading in no earthly bog. They went and vanished in the deeper fog along the river. Still he waited there, his ghostly breath ascending like a prayer, the piece of starlight falling for reply upon his face, uplifted to the sky. And round his body like a wraith of doom, the ground fog rising. Presently the gloom, where stood the rail corral, gave forth a neigh that screamed across the night and died away into a coaxing nicker. With a start, the cold, quick clutching of a panic heart, he turned. There, etched upon a patch of stars, the old horse thrust his head across the bars, ears pricked to question what the master meant. A warming glow about his heart, he went and stroked the steaming muzzle that was pressed with happy little sounds against his breast and begging whimpers.
See, he's a trick horse, you know, and he wonders what his master wants now. Trick horse and the circus.
Thus remembering, again he saw the dazzle of the ring and heard the heaped up thunders of applause, the roaring like a wind that swept in flaws the hills of men. How far it was away. He threw the old gray horse a feed of hay and slapped his neck, then, hunching to the cold, went off to bed. The slumber of the old fell heavy on the night. The stars burned dim. The east wore thinner. Something startled him. A moment, risen from a dreamless deep, he floated on the surface of his sleep, and knew the fog had found an open door. It seemed to make a sound along the floor of stealthy feet that whispered. "Who is there?" he said. A blue spurt sputtered to a flare of yellow. Was a lark's word coming true?